And now Mike Burke, who will talk to us about the mayor's task force for the arts. Mike has been engaged in the Google Fiber effort in this town as well. He's a former city councilman who almost became mayor a couple of years back. And Mike, always good to have you here. Welcome back to
Up to Date. Good to be here, Steve.
Was there a sense, you know, heading into this work on the mayor's task force for the arts, Mike, that, you know, the city wasn't doing enough to cultivate the arts in this town? Because, you know, a lot of folks might think that the arts are doing pretty darn well these days.
They are. The arts are doing great in Kansas City. And actually, that was the impetus for the task force, because we have a wonderful, wonderful performing arts and visual arts community. We have wonderful philanthropic donors and supporters of the arts. We have great audiences in Kansas City. What was missing was a public strategy. The city has kind of bumbled along, sometimes supporting, sometimes not supporting the arts. But they did it not in the context of a strategy.
So the mayor formed the task force to figure that nut out then, it sounds like.
That's right. This is a strategy document for the city of Kansas City.
This is from the report, Mike. The task force was formed in the belief that there is perhaps no more exciting time in the city's creative history than the present. Why is this the most exciting time?
Well, if you know, it's Jerry's story with Tivoli.
Absolutely.
Is a great example.
A great example of it.
We have a wonderful philanthropic community. We've invested probably $2 billion in the last few years between the Nelson Gallery, the Kauffman Performing Arts Center, Starlight, other amenities in the city. So what the task force wanted to do was take advantage of this great resurgence of the arts in Kansas City, blend in with a strategy which is creating America's creative crossroads, and figure out truly what the role of the city is in being the convener, being the organizer, being the promoter of a very vibrant arts community.
And you're convinced the city needs to have a role? It can't just function on its own?
The arts will do just fine. The city needs the strategy, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the 30,000-foot level of why we need a strategy, I'm thoroughly convinced that those cities that are going to prosper in the next two decades are those creative cities that can attract, grow, nurture, teach, keep, and steal talent.
Yeah.
And Kansas City is so well positioned, both in the arts community and the tech community.
You know, that's an interesting idea to me because, you know, we have this heritage in this town of being a cow town. How difficult is it to sort of swing our image to one that does sort of include this aspect of this burgeoning arts community?
Well, the buzz nationally about Kansas City and in the arts is wonderful. We have won awards. We're sending our talent elsewhere to perform. They're just great and numerous examples of how Kansas City's arts community has grown, and individual artists. What we need to do is help tell that story, both nationally, and what we found is locally. We have 2 million people in this region that, when they travel, whether they live in Raytown or Platte City or Belton, consider themselves Kansas Cityans.
Mm-hmm.
They need to help tell the story, not just of barbecue and good football,
yeah,
but also the great arts community here.
Pretty good football.
Yes.
Not good, but pretty good.
Almost
we're getting
good
there.
Enough. Almost good.
I should point out that Mike's voice is a little hoarse today from his day-long excursion to Arrowhead Stadium yesterday, where he was yelling a whole lot at Peyton Manning. If you want to join our conversation this morning as we talk about the arts and what the city could do to foster the arts in Kansas City, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Your idea is welcome. Again, 816-235-2888, or send us an email to uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. So, Mike, let's talk for a little bit about what needs to happen here. In this report, you call for the creation of something called the Office of Culture and Creative Services. It would report to the city manager. What would the Office of Culture and Creative Services do?
Well, I can give you some specific examples.
Yeah.
One is in the film community. Kansas City used to fund a film office up until about 10 years ago, and it got cut in a budget cut. We are a wonderfully talented city for filmmakers, film producers, for ad agencies. When a producer, director, ad agency from outside the city is looking where to shoot, usually first thing they do is pick up the phone and call a film coordinator at the local government. We don't have that office in Kansas City. Hmm. And that's millions of dollars a year just in making ads.
And we got rid of it 10 years ago, you say, because of a budget cut. I remember when that happened, and there was an outcry from the film community at the time.
Yes, and to the credit of the film community, they have, on a volunteer basis, formed a film commission and helped promote Kansas City. But it's not the same as having a coordinated effort at the government level.
What else could this Office of Culture and Creative Services do, Mike?
Well, one of the things that we found out was, and we surveyed the community. We had over 3,600 people respond either to town hall meetings, individual meetings, group meetings, or online with their ideas. The number one priority is really arts education. Hmm. That's another area where the schools, I think nationally the statistics are that schools nationally have cut arts in half over the last decade. Those are our future audiences. Those are our future performers. I shudder at the thought that the next great jazz musician or the next great playwright or performer is sitting in middle school right now without any role model or teaching.
So who would fund arts education? That's a pretty big dollar item, I would imagine.
Well, the city can't fund arts education. We can be a convener. We can match up priorities. Most importantly, we have some wonderful amenities in our parks and recreation program. There should be after-school arts programs. There should be summer-related arts programs and camps. Not every kid wants to go shoot hoops after school.
There's got to be a place for arts, you're saying.
That's right.
You know, one question that looms out here, they're looking, your group is looking for $1 million a year to fund this new Office of Cultural and Creative Services. Where's the city going to come up with $1 million a year?
Well, that's an ongoing discussion. Right now, the city draws from any number of sources to fund programs. Some of it comes from neighborhood tourism. Some of it comes from the park department budget. Some of it comes from the general fund. Some comes from various capital programs. The 1% for arts program comes exclusively from capital programs. So we're encouraging the city manager and the mayor to work to identify a dedicated source of revenue. The one thing that concerns us most is that, while we have a very, very dedicated mayor and council and manager to the arts at this time, those things change. In the absence of a dedicated source of funding, it's too easy to cut funding for the arts as has happened for the film office, as has happened to some of the various parks programs.
Yeah.
If we're going to be the art city, if we're going to be the creative crossroads of America, we need to step up and make it happen.
And get in the game, in
That's
a sense.
Right.
Yeah. We're visiting with Mike Burke about the arts in Kansas City and how the city can help the arts flourish in our town. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. Our email address, update@kcur.org. Ann from Kansas City, Missouri. Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Ann.
Okay. I wanted to ask Mr. Burke if he did any research into the idea of maybe working with the land bank or something to allocate some homes for low-cost homes that are we have so many, for artists. I know the city of Buffalo did something like that to encourage young arts types to move in to some of these vacant homes that we have.
It's an excellent question. We have lots of vacant homes in this town.
And that is an excellent question. That's one we did address. One of the primary areas we addressed was urban planning and the arts. And, you know, what we found is, you know, we have neighborhoods that would benefit from an influx of artists. We have artists that need low and reduced cost live workspace. You know, there are numerous neighborhoods in Kansas City that have seen a resurgence because artists have moved in.
One of our great strengths of the city is our cost of living and it being so affordable.
It is, and that's what's helping attract talent from across the country. I can't prove this empirically, but I think we've been a net exporter of talent for the last few decades in Kansas City to either coast, to Denver, to Chicago. I am seeing a lot of that talent return to Kansas City, and it's because of the cost of living. It's because we have wonderful performance places, and it's because we're a city that does value the arts.
Have you gone so far, Mike, as to identify a potential neighborhood that might fit what Ann's talking about here?
We have. There, you know, you always want to have people follow your recommendations. A lot of people are jumping the gun. There are a couple of proposals currently for artists' live work space.
Are those through the Economic Development Corporation or Council, or are they through the Land Bank or that new entity that we have?
Well, right now, a number of them are looking for low-income tax credits. That's going to be a city decision to support those organizations. But I know a couple of neighborhoods, Columbus Park, that already has a base of artists that would like to expand live-works space. And also, I think the Skerritt Building, there is a proposal for artist space.
Well, let me please encourage you to work with the city to try to – in my neighborhood, we have homes that are abandoned or just in disrepair, foreclosed, that I'm sure artists who live somewhere like New York City would love to come and live and work in –
Yeah, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you brought up this topic. So good information.
It is. And Ann, you pinpointed one of the things that really only a city can do to encourage proper planning.
So we're talking about arts education. You're talking about an Office of Culture and Creative Services. What else is in your report that you want to see happen, Mike?
Well, I think, you know, One is we did endorse the Downtown Arts Campus, which is a UMKC initiative.
And controversial with some folks.
I think it would be a great addition both to the conservatory, which is, I think, a world-class or national-class conservatory in third-class space.
Yeah.
But having 800 or 900 young people downtown would be a great amenity. It would be a great impetus to what is already happening as young people love our downtown area.
How confident are you on the scale that something like this is actually going to happen? Because a lot of folks, again, are invested in this and want to see it happen.
Well, we need one of the recommendations is to get the city more involved in arts lobbying in Jefferson City. You know, 2 years ago, the state legislature passed and created a fund to match dollar-for-dollar private contributions to state universities for capital improvements. Now, they haven't funded that fund yet. But we should, as a city, be down there supporting full funding for the arts campus and other UMKC initiatives. We should be down there for full funding for what's called the Artists and Athletes Entertainment Tax.
Mm-hmm.
Which was created by the state to refund to a community, to the arts community, some of the taxes collected by entertainers and athletes coming to visit.
And name one other recommendation that you're particularly proud of that you want to see happen in this report, Mike.
Well, I think we as a community need to make the decision that arts are important. We need to create that office of creative services, because all of the other recommendations really flow from having somebody at the table discussing the role of the arts community, whether it be in urban planning and marketing or education.
You know, you get a sense reading this report, Mike, that the arts community felt, you know, a little underappreciated in this town, maybe because they'd expressed that concern to your group over time. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think the city never adopted a strategic plan. This is, to my knowledge, the first ever strategic plan for the arts. I think, you know, a lot of artists aren't making big money. They're struggling. Most of them, many of them, have other jobs, whether it be teaching or many of them see other cities a lot more involved. I think this is a response to that concern.
Where do you think the arts could be in this town in 8 or 10, 12 years? Do you have a sense in your own mind what where it could be and what could be happening?
Well, I think it's already happening. I commented on, you know, the new the artists that are now performing in the Kauffman Center, whether it be the ballet or the symphony or the lyric, have all raised their level. They truly have.
Everybody talks about
yeah,
that.
It's truly world-class performance. I am just overwhelmed. Same goes with Kansas City Rep. Is just doing great nationally recognized work. I think it's part of it is expanding that reputation as Kansas City as the creative crossroads, the place where people want to come and where you can have all the amenities you find on either coast in the arts and no traffic.
It's interesting that the Kauffman Center, the impact of the Kauffman Center in terms of raising the game, to use your words, no question that's happened.
And the amazing thing to me is it's not just happened with those organizations that perform at the Kauffman Center. I think it has raised the game of other arts groups in the city. It's raised the recognition that Kansas City is among the national leaders in performance and visual arts.
You know, different topic why I have you here in the studio, Mike. You also have been co-chair of the mayor's Bi-State Innovation Team in charge of seeing to it that Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas took full advantage of Google Fiber. You know, we're about 18 months into this or so. What's your sense? I mean, Mike, to what extent have we taken advantage of being the first in the nation to get Google Fiber and the faster internet speeds that have come with that? Where are we?
Well, I tell you the amazing thing that announcement has done for Kansas City. It's put us on the global map. We have had visitors from over 40 countries come see what we're doing, whether it's at the fiber space, at the Kauffman Center, or at Startup Village.
Startup Village, I was going to say.
Yeah. And we constantly get requests for what we're doing in Kansas City. We had visitors last week from both Provo, Utah, which is a next Google city, and Austin, Texas, wanting to know what our approach was. And other cities around the country are very focused on the infrastructure. What Google has done for Kansas City and what other providers have done is provide the infrastructure so we can focus on what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And it has broad implications in what we're doing in our economic development approach. We formed Launch KC, which is to attract those companies to Kansas City. We just attracted the first U.S. headquarters for a French company that's locating in the Crossroads. I think we're again, as we are in the arts, and I see both as interrelated because they're both about talent and creativity,
yeah.
We are attracting to Kansas City thanks to this great buzz of technology and creativity. We're attracting companies that we would not otherwise have attracted.
Have we attracted as many companies, as much attention as you hoped coming out of the gate, Mike?
I think the main thing, and it gets back to talent, is, you know, we've got local companies like Cerner that have announced 15,000 jobs in the next few years.
That's right.
How are they going to fill those jobs? And you know, my joke about Kansas City, sometimes it's tough to get people here, but it's equally tough to get them to leave. and I think, you know, it all fits together. Certainly what Cerner's doing, what companies like Garmin, DST, and most of all Sprint. Sprint just announced an accelerator with Techstars in the Crossroads area. hasn't been acclaimed greatly locally,
yeah,
but it's got us a lot of national attention.
Well, let me see if I can articulate this a little bit. I mean, it seemed to me when Google Fiber made its initial announcement, Mike, there was this, you know, hoopla around town. Everyone's so excited. And then things sort of calmed down, and the question arose, well, it's cool they're coming, but what are we going to do with it? And that question sort of has remained on the table for a long time. And you get the sense that as cool as it's been, as excited as people were initially, and it has been kind of cool, but you do have a sense that people are still scratching their heads over exactly what on earth can we do with this thing?
Well, I think we've tried to answer that question, you know, first of all, the healthcare and education and availability. Let me touch on one thing. And
yeah.
We formed, with Google's help and Sprint and others, a fund at the Community Foundation for Digital Literacy. They just have announced their first round of awards to nonprofit organizations, 501c3 organizations,
right,
to promote digital literacy. That's huge. I kind of joke that you couldn't sign up for healthcare without going on a computer. And then that I was
proved. Well, we know how that worked out.
That's right. But, you know, people, you know, applying for jobs. Most jobs now want an online application. We've got 25% of the households in Kansas City that are not connected to broadband. That's not something we're proud of. I think what that whole announcement has done is refocus that as a civic priority.
Is that going to happen, this notion of extending fiber to folks who don't have it and could use it?
Yes, there are some wonderful organizations that have popped up. There were some wonderful applications for funding. The one I'm very fond of because they're very focused is Connecting for Good. Connecting for Good is a not-for-profit that focuses on low-income areas. They have set up free Wi-Fi or low-payment Wi-Fi systems for public housing.
Yeah.
You can walk in their offices, and if you've never used a computer, they'll show you how.
Let me go grab one phone call about the arts in Kansas City with Mike Burke. David from Gladstone, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. Your guest pointed out that the arts have an enormous economic impact for the Kansas City area. And I want to underscore one point in particular, that shortly after the Kauffman Center opened, they had, and this was in December, there was a Chiefs playoff game at Arrowhead Stadium. But there was also a lot going on at the Kauffman Center with the Nutcracker and the Symphony. Had several things. So we did some real quick, a little bit dirty arithmetic and just tried to figure some things out. And we concluded that the economic impact of the Kauffman Center in the month of December of a couple of years ago was probably as great as it was for the Arrowhead Stadium with that playoff game. It's just that it went over about 3 or 4 weeks period of time. And I think this is an economic impact that we have underrealized, and I vigorously support your guest in bringing this more to the attention of the community, because we have an asset that we are just an incredible asset.
All right.
Actually, the Arts Council has done an extensive study of the economic impact. Direct expenditures for the arts in this area is $273 million a year. That represents about 8,300 jobs. Taken
wow.
as a separate category, it would be one of the largest employers in Kansas City.
You know, Mike, it's always good to have you here. Thanks for taking some time, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Steve.
That's Mike Burke, who's been so integral in working on a number of initiatives in Kansas City, including his work as chair of the Mayor's Task Force for the Arts. Time for a break here. When we come back, we'll talk with our techsperts about some great holiday gift ideas. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.